Day of public hearing and hopefully action on Senate Bill 52, the rural housing program we have back before us, Senate Bill 18, and which deals with the Anchorage Wildlife Refuge, and Senate Bill 62, public access to recreation areas. We've had public hearings on those last two bills, but the minutes reflect those that are here, and I will, we'll declare the public hearing open on Senate Bill 52, which is an act relating to the rural housing program of Department of Community and Region Affairs. Mark Ernst, are you here for Senator Binkley? Do you identify yourself for the record, please, and give us your testimony?
Okay, my name is Mark Ernst, and I'm with Senator Binkley's office. Madam Chairman, before you is Senate Bill 52, which relates to the Rural Housing Program, and that's administered by the Department of Community and Regional Affairs Housing Assistance Division. The Housing Assistance Loan Program is specifically designed to serve the rural areas of the state who may otherwise have difficulties in obtaining housing loans. And the change that is included in this particular bill is rather technical in nature, and you have a minor technical change, and you do have before you a memorandum from Senator Binkley, which outlines a little bit of the background of the program itself and then what this bill would do. And briefly, the definition or criteria that was established for the definition of rural for the purposes of this loan program was that the communities the second, third, and fourth judicial districts in the state have a population of 4,500 or less and not connected by road or rail to Anchorage or Fairbanks. And the communities in Judicial District 1 would just have the population criteria. And what we've experienced in Bethel is the population has increased to the point where they are right at the 4,500 level and are in danger of being excluded from the program. And Bill would just adjust or revise that population figure upward to allow Bethel to remain in the program. And it's our understanding that, after talking to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, that this would not impact any other communities. It would just allow Bethel to remain within the program.
Mr. Ernst, after all that you've said, the only change in this would be to see that Bethel, as it goes over 4,500, would still be included. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Fine. Are there questions of Mr. Ernst? Fine. Thank you. We do have Doug Griffin here from Community and Regional Affairs, Mr. Griffin. And we also have a positions paper and a zero fiscal note from the department. Did you wish to come up, Mary Jo Jeans, on this too?
Yes.
However you wish to present your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, my name is Doug Griffin from Community and Regional Affairs, and I would like to introduce Mary Jo Jeans, who works for the Housing Assistance Division. Just trying to anticipate if you had any questions about that division, since it's not the one I am the most familiar with, I felt it would be good to have someone available to respond to any questions you may have. As you mentioned, we do have the position paper, and we do ask that one small amendment be made, and that is in item 5B of the bill, which is on line 26, referring to the population in the first judicial district, that one also be adjusted upward to the 5,500, just to provide uniformity in the application of this criteria throughout the state. I don't anticipate that at this time it would affect any of the municipalities, but it's just that it be uniform. That's our only concern, that we try to keep the program standards even on an even keel across the state. And that's simply our only change. We are supportive of the bill, feel that this change is needed to continue to make the bill, the program available to the Bethel area. And I'm available for any comments. If you have any questions of any great difficulty, I think they'll probably should be answered by Ms. Jeans.
Okay, fine. Are there questions of Mr. Griffin? Mary Jo, do you care to make any comments? If so, identify yourself for the record.
Yeah.
No comments. Fine. Senator Jarrow.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. I didn't get the impression there with the suggested change that you were suggesting on line 26 that there would be any additional communities involved with this or in the first judicial district?
No additional. In the first.
Marita, would you mind giving for the record your title, please, your name and title?
Right. Mary Jo James, loan examiner, firm of community regional affairs.
And your response is that there are no communities that would be affected?
That is correct. In the first judicial district.
Fine. Thank you. Senator, is that responsive? All right, fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have anyone else to be heard?
I just have to steal this one.
Is anyone else to be heard? If not, we'll close the public hearing. And what's the pleasure of the committee? It seems very straightforward. You've heard the request of Community and Regional Affairs. Senator Jarrow.
Madam Chairman, are you open for possible amendment?
Yes, we might. You might want to consider a committee. You know, we don't have anything before, so if you want a committee substitute with that inclusion in, if that would be nice to do.
Madam Chairman, I would want a motion to bring Senate Bill 52 before us, or is that before us now?
No, we have not.
Okay. Madam Chairman, I would move and ask for unanimous consent that we bring Senate Bill 52 before us at this time.
Any discussion? Call for the question. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Madam Chairman, to possibly avoid some confusion and create some conformity for within the bill and the application, I would move that we adopt the suggested amendment by the department on line 26, changing the 4,500 to 5,500.
All right. We have the amendment before us. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the question. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Madam Chairman, if there's no other discussion on the bill, I would move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 52 from the Community Regional Affairs Committee with individual recommendations.
Is there a discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the question. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We have before us Senate Bill 18, which is the Anchorage Coastal Wildlife Refuge. We did have a public hearing on this. I don't think we've had any indication of additional testimony. I would like to point out to you that we've had a few changes on this, just so we could go over that, and then we would need a motion on the committee substitute. In the name change, we have the addition of renaming the Potter Point State Game Refuge as the Anchorage Coastal Wildlife Refuge. We have on page 4 a change. Would you explain that to us on line 23, why we took out the siting?
Madam Chairman, there was some thought on the Department of Fish and Game that those sites might not be all-inclusive or proper, and after checking with legal services advised there was no need for the sites. And we also added in consultation with the Department of Natural Resources.
You have a copy?
There is, I believe there's one underneath your packet.
I'll look on this one here.
Here's a bit
more. You're right here, I'm sorry.
All right, so that's straightforward. They agree that they don't see the siting as being necessary.
That is correct, Madam Chairman.
And then we had questions raised from the owner, Cook Inlet, of Fire Island about the adequacy of their ability to get access to that land. And so this wording has been proposed. Mr. Campbell.
Madam Chairman, this wording is wording that was worked out in connection with the sponsor, SERI, the Department of Natural Resources and Fish and Game and Legal Services, with all parties agreeing on the wording.
Mm-hmm. And then, go ahead. All right. And finally, there had been a question raised, Senator Jarrow, by yourself about an effective date, and that has been added. We have an additional piece of correspondence from the Department of Natural Resources where the issue has been raised regarding wishing to retain, not have it closed to mineral exploration. And we've had an additional letter that the commissioner would wants to see this particular legislation go through and would not want to do anything to create a jeopardy to its passage. I think there have been a lot of testimony that we feel that the mineral, that we've taken a look at that, and we had no objection at least last year from the miners and others. Isn't that correct, Mr.
Panel?
That
is correct.
In the various hearings.
The Alaska Miners Association testified in favor of the bill.
Do we have other discussion on it? Are you prepared to act? I would ask if there's anyone here that has additional information that you'd like to give. I don't want to cut it out. I'll open it if that's true. You're here for questions, both Fish and Game, Natural Resources, and the Outdoor Council, and whomever. Okay. So the matter is before us. Senator Szymanski?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd move and ask that we move out with...
We would need an adoption of the bill, first
okay.
of all.
Okay. Move and ask that we adopt the CS for SB 18, of course.
Discussion? If not, I'll call for the question. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator?
Thank you. I'd move and ask that we pass out individual recommendations. CS adopted Senate Bill 18.
Discussion? Senator?
Just a point of clarification. Madam Chairman, I noticed you did put the effective date on there, but will that also reflect as a title change?
Madam Chairman, I think that's a point well taken. We will make certain it's taken
care of. It does need to be in there. So we could...
Drafting.
That's a drafting error, but you're absolutely right. Right there, Fred.
That used to catch them all the time.
Is there further discussion?
It's my specialty, effective dates.
It's not a call for question. Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Right on, Fred. We also had a public hearing on committee substitutes for Senate Bill number 62, which deals with the public access to recreation areas. And I would ask you, Mr. Campbell, to go over. There are several changes to this. Do you have before you the committee substitute?
Madam Chairman, I believe everyone has at their... That's a copy of the committee substitute. There are a number.
Excuse me, Madam Chairman. I have to attend another meeting, teleconference meeting tonight right now, and I'd like to be excused.
Sign
and
your bill.
I'll sign off on the bill. If you need a proper quorum, give me a holler. I'll be right back.
Madam Chairman, there's several changes. All these changes are technical in nature. The first occurs on page 1, line 29. Which deals with the problem of people owning or possibly owning a cabin for which they might have preference rights to purchase within the 50-foot easement. And the language, which was discussed in a separate memo last week, has been added, except for state land disposed under AS 3805035B235 or 3805068.
Now, this includes all sightings that would deal with preference rights that may exist.
That is correct.
Yeah, we don't want to follow that up.
The next change is a change recommended by the Department of Fish and Game. On page 2, line 11, it's the addition of the words and interest after money to make clear that any interest generated by the fund remains in the fund. The next is on line 17, also page 2, the addition of the word actual administrative costs or the cost of the Department of Revenue may charge. On page 2, line 23, a substitution of the word recreational for the word boating that was there previously.
And the determination was from the department that even though the federal law refers to boating, that we can use the recreational, which is our intent.
That is correct. And again, dealing with the federal law, a addition of language on lines 4 through 6 on page 3, it's identified as subsection C2, that specifies in accordance with federal law that if land is purchased with the federal funds and is later disposed of, the funds from that disposition have to go back to the federal government. And then the last addition was an addition of an effective date, and as Senator Zaroff has pointed out, we will have to make that change reflected in the title also.
Madam Chair,
Senator?
With the addition of the effective date, I think we brought up another problem, and that's on the $5 dividend checkoff.
Mm-hmm.
That can't go into effect immediately without screwing up what they've already got accomplished, because they've already got at least the proof made of a dividend application, if not sent to the printer. They're sent out the first week of April or something.
Senator, not our intention to, we understood it would not go this year, and don't want, well, so what we want to do, though, is to be sure.
And with the effective date, why don't we put on page 2,
okay,
on line 14, prepare the 1988 permanent fund dividend application, and that's prepared later on this year. It's usually prepared at the end of the year, you know, then they go out for bid. I don't know how it's done, but that would indicate it's next year.
Or I wonder, Senator Kelly, if that's one that we could have two effective dates, that the act would go, but we would, isn't the normal way that they do on, say, sections listed and then to give the effective date of that section? How is that handled?
Madam Chairman, if it were to be the direction of the committee that, and I believe points well taken, that this portion of the bill not take effect until 1988, I could consult with drafting and have the proper language.
Right. You don't want to stop the whole fund from being created.
No.
Right. But just, you want to make certain.
Okay. Yeah. And so that is the intent, but I think he's definitely right that we need to.
Can we cover that, Madam Chairman? Can we just cover that by intent language rather than within the bill?
We can stick it in the bill.
Well, we can stick it in the bill, but we'll ask drafting how to do it. I would like to check before we go on to see. I won't declare the public hearing open unless there's additional testimony on the part of any of the people in the audience. We have received no further written information. All right, with that, we do not have anything before us. So,
the other thing, Madam Chair, that you might want to check is whether or not language is necessary to continue that program. You know, and you don't want to restrict it to 1 year only. You want it to be a continuing program.
Does it?
You might make sure that that's what it means.
That it's ongoing. But I certainly read it that way, but we'll check that. Could we have a motion on this, if possible? Senator?
Madam Chairman, I guess I have some problems with the bill. I don't.
All right.
I don't know if we really need to have a fund set up like this, and then also include the interest, particularly since we're talking about the general fund monies. If the funds were to go through, I don't have any problems with the principal. I think in our period now of declining revenues, that the interest, since it's general fund money, or at least the general fund money portion, that interest should go back into the general fund. But I guess I don't have any problems with that. I won't move up the bill. I'll just state that for the record here. And if there's no other comments, I'll make the motion for the bill.
I've got one comment. To staff, how are we getting around that old constitutional bugaboo of dedicated fund?
Madam Chairman, it is my understanding from talking with the department, with the legal services and also the departments, that is avoided through actually three separate mechanisms, because the fund has four sources of funding. One is it doesn't apply to the federal funds that will be used. The second is that, that does not apply to funds that are donated by the public, just like the Olympic checkoff. And the third is and that would also apply to just a straight-out contribution, even if it didn't come from a dividend. And then the fourth way is that the legislature may appropriate to the fund. And, for instance, then it exists just as many other funds exist within the general fund. Okay.
Madam Chairman, would you like your motion to reflect the amended CS?
Yes, and that would be the clarification on the effective date of the permanent fund deduction.
Madam Chairman, I would move committee substitute for Senate Bill 62 as, I guess, conceptually amended up to this point, out of committee with individual recommendations.
Further discussion? Call for a question? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. And then we need to move. That was to bring
that
it.
That was
to bring us before us. I'm sorry.
Oh.
No, we've done
it. You moved the
whole
thing? All right, we've done it. All right. Thank you. What I would like to do is to request that, as a part of this, as it goes forward, that we have a memorandum on the issue raised by Senator Kelly dealing with the ability to establish the fund. And I think that, and the parts that go into it, and I think that also partially reflects an answer to your concern, Senator, that If these funds come in from the individual choice, it makes more sense that the interest does accrue to it. But if we have that laid out, I think that might help resolve some of your problems. Okay? Have we gotten three bills now that you signed? Okay. Very good. Thank you, and meeting adjourned.